You're listening to Peter Donegan, as always, www.donneganlandscaping.com, and hit the blog. Today, I had the absolute honour to meet a childhood hero, Mr. Jack Charlton. Jack, I would say, was the first man, as far as I'm aware, he's the first honorary Irish man. Is that correct? But I remember Jack really for the Euro 88 and more so Italia 90, and an entire country coming to an absolute standstill. An absolute standstill. I've never seen to this day anything like it. Never, never, never. First thing I asked Jack, of course, was with my wry sense of humour, what was his favourite gardening podcast? Here's how we get on. So I'm standing with Jack Charlton. Jackie, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yes.
Your favourite gardening podcast?
Oh, Sodcast. Is that it?
That's it. That's it. Thanks, mate. Shortly after that, it was very much a journalist's audio and written, you might say, I won't say a free-for-all, but, you know, people had a chance to ask him the varying questions. I, of course, asked him. I think it was picked up on Shea Given. And I asked him his thoughts on Shay's situation in particular. Here's how we got on. It's an interesting conversation. For those who are into gardening or sports turf management, of particular interest is Jack's response to his first time meeting the grounds staff or grounds manager, and the fact that he never cut the grass. He never cut the grass. Coming up to a match when Ireland were due to play. Take a listen, see how we got on. I have to say, quite humorous, quite intriguing. Here's how we got on.
Is this your first time here since they opened it up? Since
I've been coming here for years and coming down to see the game. I mean, it's, I don't know how much it cost them, but being in time, hell, when did they start here?
About 6-7 years, wasn't it? 6 years.
Oh, it's a lot more than that. Maybe it'd be in 6-7 years, but I've been there a couple of, as we were putting it up, we came and there was a place behind that, I think, and we just stood on the balcony, and the three lads that do that.
The upright match, yeah.
What do you call them?
Upright match.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were there.
They were there, and we had a lunch, and it was, got some pictures taken, and had a few questions, and God knows what did you do.
Did you like the old place, Jack?
Sorry?
Did you like the old place? Happy memories of it?
I came here, the first day I came as manager, I went out onto the pitch, and the grass was about that long. And I was talking to the groundsman, and I said, he said, oh, we're going to cut the grass before you play in the game. And I said, no, don't cut the grass. I said, I like to play the ball behind the people. And I said, but if you cut the grass, it'll be quick and the ball will bounce and it'll go straight through to the goalkeeper, or it may go out for a goal kick or whatever. I said, so leave the grass like that so that you can stop, the ball can stop where we play it. And it worked. I can't remember ever cutting the grass here.
What do you think of the state of the pitch now?
Oh, it's fantastic. The stadium is fantastic. I mean, it's, what, 55,000?
51.
Yeah. 51. Mm. 51,000. Fantastic.
You've been impressed, Jack, by what Giovanni has done since he's arrived.
Sorry?
You're impressed by what Giovanni Trapattoni has done since he's arrived as manager.
I thought he was very unlucky in that match against the French when the bloody disallowed that goal. When he didn't give the goal. I mean, completely changed. When you're getting beat 2-0 and then you come back to make it 2-0, you're on top and you go in. And then all of a sudden, when that goal and we got beat 2-1, geez, and it was silly. I mean, he must have been blind as a bat. It was nearly a yard behind the line. And the linesman on that side didn't put his flag up. He didn't put his flag up. But everybody else in the ground saw it, and it was one of those bad moments because we were looking as if we may get a good result there. I'm talking about we. I still talk about we. Yeah.
We've got Russia coming up, Jack, in the European Championships. Do you remember Euro 88 when we played Russia? Some people felt it was the best performance under your management, the 1-1 draw in the European Championships.
Oh, we, when we, yeah.
We should have beaten them.
Yeah, we should have done. We, in fact, the goalkeeper, one of the, we should have had a penalty just.
That's right, he took down Aldo, I think, wasn't it? I think he took down Aldo.
That's it.
Somebody was running through, and it wasn't. It was Tony from.
Tony Galvin.
From Tottenham.
Tony Galvin.
It was Tony Galvin. He's running through with the ball, and he's gone. And the goalkeeper's coming out, and he just took him. And the referee didn't give anything. It was one of the most blatant things I've ever seen, but he couldn't do a lot about it. The referee said. Anyway. So they're just memories.
Yeah. Sometimes the bigger teams seem to get bigger decisions, didn't they? Was that, you know, did you feel that was, as Ireland, we weren't getting the big decisions sometimes against the bigger sides, and that doesn't seem to have changed too much over the years.
I remember when we played Italy in Rome, and after the game we got beat 1-0 in the game, and we were getting on top a little bit towards the end of the game. But every time that we looked dangerous, the referee gave us a foul. And I went up to the press conference afterwards, and the first question asked to me was, what did I think of the performance of the referee? And I said, I'm not going to get involved in this. I said, I can get suspended if I start criticising referees and all this. I said, you saw the game, you saw the way it happened. You write what you think. And then I left. Remember it?
You can tell us now what you think.
Well, I can say what I want now, because I'm not going to get fined again of FIFA or whatever it is. Yeah, but I was very upset over the referee that day, because it is difficult when you're looking and you know what's going to happen next and you know where somebody's going to run, and then all of a sudden the referee gives you a foul and you sure you put it down and you're looking and saying, what do we do now?
Jack, Ireland haven't qualified for the European finals since they did with you in 1988. Would you feel confident watching Trapattoni and this team that can do it this time?
It's always been a bit more difficult with the European competition, because you play more games, I think it is, than you do for a World Cup. And they're always difficult games because you're in it, and they do it with what they think are the most big teams, so that they will at least have 3 or 4 teams. I think about 6 in the row, isn't it, Charlie?
Yeah. Well, we have 2 wins from our opening 2 games.
Yes, that's good.
And then we have Russia here next month on the Friday, and Slovakia away on the following Tuesday. So those 2 could be make or break games for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it will be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you win them 2, you'll always have qualified straight away there and then. But they're going to be difficult games. Russia have not been as good as they've been in past years. I don't know anything about Russia. Do you know any of them?
Well, they didn't qualify for the World Cup.
For the World Cup, have I now? So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Hopefully. We'll get good results. I keep telling where you come. Sorry, but
that's allowed.
Jack, of the current team, the current Irish team, is there any 1 or 2 players on that you think, I wish I had them when you were in charge? Anyone particularly outstanding for you?
I couldn't tell you, apart from Shea Givens, 1 name of any of the players on the field. I couldn't tell you 1 name. I just watch the game, but the names never register on me. That's because I'm getting on a bit now and I can't remember the things.
What do you think of Shea's situation at this moment? What do you think of Shea Given's situation at this moment in time?
It's a funny one, isn't it? Man City, and they put a young lad in, and he's sat watching. He'll probably get transferred again fairly soon.
Yeah.
Because he's a hell of a goalkeeper.
He is too.
Would you have told one of your players to move in order to get first-team football to play for Ireland then, when you were manager? Would you have asked them to move to get first-team football when you were a manager, so then they could play for Ireland?
Who?
just if some player wasn't playing the way Shea Given is?
A goalkeeper, you mean? I don't know what you mean.
If one of your international players wasn't playing every week in the first division, would you have told him to move?
Well, no, but you don't pick a team just because you want to pick a team. You pick a team because you've been and seen the people you're playing against, and you think, well, I might play a left winger, but he'll have to start and operate a little bit more work in front of the fullbacks. Or I might say, what, Tony Cascarino, you know, you want a big lad upstairs to score goals and headers? Niall Quinn, they're there. You know, if they've got 6'4" centre halves, you're not going to play both of them, but you will play two of them if the two centre halves are only that big. Which happens now.
Jack, would you like to come over here and see a game soon? See one of the Ireland games?
I've been invited to come for the Russian game. Unfortunately, I'm booked on the Tay. Now, I'm serious. I bought a timeshare on the Tay about 5 years ago. And every year I have to pay £2,200 to get on the river because... So I'm not
very,
I'm not,
very common sense, Dick.
I might be able to watch the match on the telly after, if it's in the evening, because we won't be fishing in. But it's something I've got to do.
Can we wrap it up, lads?
Just one question. Nobby Stiles, who you knew well, a good friend of yours, he's selling his World Cup medals to raise money. I know he hasn't been well. And you're one of the few players that played in the final who still has his World Cup medals. And most of them have had to sell all their medals, your colleagues.
I don't think they all had to sell them. They just sold them because somebody was saying, well, I got 100,000 for mine. And somebody else might have got 110,000. I don't know how much Nobby's will bring for him. But he's obviously wants. He's like me. He's like anybody that's the age. I'm 75 now. And I don't know how long I'm going to last. So I give all the things that I've got and all the whatever I've got, I've given away to the family. So that after 7 years, the tax man won't do anything with it. Hopefully.
Jack.
What was your medal? Your World Cup medal?
My World Cup medal is in a brown box, which was given to me with the medal in it, and it was cardboard. The little cardboard box I gave you, and it was in there, and I've still got it. I've still got everything. I've never, ever given anything away that I leave for the family.
Jack, one last question. Your grandson qualifies to play for Ireland, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, aye. John.
John.
Yeah. My son married Deirdre. You might remember Deirdre. She used to... Well, some of you might remember.
Oh, Deirdre. I do, yes.
And she's just a little girl as well.
Yeah, very good.
And but John... He's a runner. He kicks a ball. He plays football with me on the grass sometimes, and I take him, tell him how to play and how to do it. And that. But he's, it's nice having grandchildren.
Would you encourage him to play for Ireland or England?
Oh, I would definitely Ireland.
All right.
Now, if I was in Wembley, it would be definitely.
What do you think of being a cartoon character?
Sorry?
What do you think of being a cartoon character?
Oh, all that over there? Well, you've got to be trusting, haven't you? I mean, it's not too bad. I look a bit as if I'm asleep, and my nose is definitely out of place.
All right, gentlemen, we're just going to bring Mr. Charlton down off the pitch.
So, yeah, as you can gather, it was, I won't say it was emotional, me meeting Jack Charlton, but... You know, it's the first memory in my 34 years on this island of an entire country coming to an absolute standstill. And he is the man, essentially, to thank or to blame for it. You know, it's one or the other. But such fantastic memories. And it really, really was an absolute honour to meet face-to-face, shake hands and thank the man. Thank him. I'm God Almighty, I'm sure our whole country has shook his hand a million times over. But an absolute gentleman. And I think special thanks on this one goes out to Niall Harbison of Simply Zesty, Elaine McGovern, and the team at Airtricity, who were, you know, as I said, made a, God, Jack Charlton. I mean, doesn't even require an explanation. It was also an absolute pleasure to meet Stephen O'Leary of O'Leary Analytics, and Ronan Hunt Murphy of SwearImNotPaul.com. Thanks also to Damien Bannon, who I met for coffee today as well, of Bannon Commercial. Thanks, Damien. It really was a pleasure to meet up with you. As always, you'll find me over on www.donneganlandscaping.com and hit the blog. I'm on twitter.com/DonneganGardens. Have a great day, folks. Take care. Bye for now.